Cal State Long Beach is home to a diverse population of students. Within this diverse population is a community of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans students, or LGBT for short. Many LGBT students feel frustrated, isolated, and different from their peers due to their sexuality, something that does not affect heterosexual students. Promotion of homophobic or heteronormative discourse within a classroom and poor treatment by campus officials and medical professionals are examples of situations that may intensify those feelings. Throughout this podcast, we focus on how sexual orientation affects student lives both on and off campus. Our first interview is with a 28-year-old gay student. He describes his experiences as a gay male on campus, experiences with his family, and what he thinks of those who don't accept homosexuality. His experiences provide an interesting contrast to those presented later on in this podcast.
I don't come to class to talk about my sexuality, and I come to class, you know, to learn. And I think if we thought about it conversely, like if we were living in a gay world and you were interviewing a straight person, that's my sexuality isn't the basis for, it's not my day, that's not the bigger part of my day. And I think a lot of, you know, a lot of people are, when they meet a gay person, they're so intrigued on the fact that of just on their sexuality, and they forget that there's an actual person that does other things, you know, besides what they do that's in the bedroom. So it, to me on campus, it has nothing to do with my day.
Are you vocal about your sexuality?
Not necessarily, but I don't hide it. Like, I don't actively hide it. So, like, I don't scream, I'm here, I'm queer, you know, but at the same time, you know, if I'm checking someone out, I don't try and hide it, you know.
But do you ever feel like you need to hide it sometimes?
No, not here. Not on this campus.
So you feel like your location makes a difference in...
We're in a blue city in a blue state, and you know, kids here are pretty open-minded, you know. The negative things I hear about gay people are mostly said in jest, and it does, like, stuff like that doesn't offend me, so I feel comfortable here.
Do you feel comfortable discussing your sexuality if a professor or classmate asks you?
Yeah, as long as they were professional about it. I don't know if that's the right word. Like, if someone has a question or something and they keep it, you know, relatively clean, or if they're just curious, I have no problem. You know, they just want to learn, especially if they're not being confrontational or, you know, judging me or saying, oh, you're going to hell because of what you do. Oh, well, okay, sinner. All right, I'm going to hell.
Have you ever been harassed verbally or physically for your sexuality?
Not physically. Verbally, yes, two times. And two times that I can think of. And it was more funny than it was offensive to me. Because the first time I was with my boyfriend at the time, we were in San Francisco, walking down the street, just gone shopping. You know, we were staying at my cousin's house who lived in the Upper Haight. And we were walking down the street and holding hands, and this guy with, like, driving, like, a beat-up old Mustang, total Jerry Curl, maybe 300 pounds, just stopped his car, honked his horn, and yelled out, "Faggots!" like, to us, and all me and my boyfriend could do was just look at each other and laugh at this guy. Like, when people have, you know, who, in my opinion, have no business, like, saying anything bad about other people when they got bigger fish to fry, obviously, than making fun of two gay guys on the street, it's funny to me. And then the other time was more recently, and basically the same thing happened. I was with my boyfriend. We were here in Orange County. And this time it was a car full of people going out to a straight club. And my boyfriend and I were walking down the street holding hands, and the driver honked and yelled, "Faggots." But then we saw that his girlfriend smacked him right in the face and said, "Don't you fucking do that." So, you know, we had someone on our side in the car, so it was fine.
Are your friends and family supportive about your sexual orientation?
Totally, yeah. They're not unsupportive, I should say. My family took it kind of weird at first. They never said anything negative or bad to me, and they never said that, oh, you know, we're not going to love you, or they never tried to get me to change. But, you know, my parents are pretty conservative. My mom is Catholic, and my dad is very much a right-wing you know, Republican, but I think at the end of the day, they know that, you know, regardless of if I'm gay or straight, I'm still their son, and I'm still, a human. I'm a good guy. I don't go out and, you know, do a bunch of drugs and, you know, waste my money or waste my day doing something. I don't know how any of this is making sense, but they know I'm a good guy, and the sexuality, a person's sexuality is only a small part of that person. I think a lot of people forget that, you know?
Do you feel different from your classmates? Like, sometimes do you feel like you're, like, that gay guy, or do you feel like you don't want to bring up gay issues in class?
No, not at all. Sometimes I actually feel like I'm better than them. That's all. I just think I'm better than them because I'm gay. Like, I think it's better to be gay. Like, are you kidding me? Like, as long as, for men anyway, I'm one of those misogynistic kind of gays where I think women are crazy. I'm just kidding. I really don't think women are crazy, but I don't have to worry about getting a girl pregnant. You know, I don't have to worry about my family pressuring me to find a wife and to have kids and everything. I think if I was straight, I wouldn't want to get married and have kids. Are you kidding me? No way. If I was straight, I think I would be the eternal bachelor. I honestly think I would, but I don't know. It's a different universe.
Our next interview is with a 27-year-old female-to-male transsexual graduate student. When he steps outside the world of academia, his main focus becomes his girlfriend and his 6-year-old son. He describes his experiences as a transsexual on campus, at home, with medical professionals, and within the greater LGBT community. Do you think that there are a lot of stereotypes about transsexuals?
If people don't see people like me, who are a graduate student, would consider myself successful. I have a functioning family. I have a very well-adjusted son. People don't see that. People see tranny truck drivers today on Jerry Springer, or they see the pregnant man who's a fucking joke.
Right.
I hate that guy. Thomas Beatty.
Why do you hate him?
Because he marketed himself as, like, the first pregnant man, which is bullshit. Like, it's really common for people in our community to go off testosterone. You only have to go off testosterone for 3 to 6 months mm-hmm. before you could, if you haven't had a hysterectomy, obviously,
right.
before you could carry a child. It's not unheard of. It's not even abnormal for people to do it. Like, Kelly and I, we have Dominic. If we wanted to have another kid, I would be the one to do it we don't, but I would do it,
yeah.
And I would be fine with that. That doesn't challenge my masculinity or my manliness, like, whatever. Like, if you have it, use it. Like, mm-hmm. it works just fine, you know? But to go on television and do all this stuff, like, did you see him on Oprah?
He's, I saw, like, parts of it.
In his backyard, like, shh, I don't want my neighbors to know. Dude, you're going on Oprah. Like, really? And just, he put the whole community at risk, and he did it without a purpose.
So,
he put his family at risk, but I mean, that's a choice that you have to make if you're going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
Most trans people are stealth, because the death rates are still as high as 1 in 12 being murdered. I mean, that's a huge risk. For me to be out, like, I take that risk, and I understand that that's a risk to my family, too. I do everything I can to minimize that risk, but it is what it is. But for him, like, he didn't talk about the lack of adequate health care. He didn't talk about the lack of insurance coverage. He didn't talk about, I mean, there's trans guys that have developed ovarian cancer and died because doctors refused to treat them. There are trans people who've been in car accidents, and when the EMTs figured out that they were trans, they left them to die on the side of the road from treatable injuries. They don't talk about these things. He just went on and talked about, look at me, the pregnant man, and that was it. He didn't talk about any of the issues to our community. He just did it and got a book deal and cashed his checks.
Yeah.
While putting, like, let's say that I wanted to have a kid now. That would put me at risk, because now it's visible. Where before you could just blend in and nobody would ever think anything, now I'm visible. And now I would be risking myself, I would be risking my family, and I'd be risking, like, my unborn child. And I don't think that that's fair to do. I mean, every time you come out, it's a calculated risk. But at least take that risk for a reason. Not just for selfish gains that are going to put your whole community, you know, with a target on their back. It's not fair.
You were born female, right?
Yeah.
So how did you know that you were?
I mean, that was kind of a long process. And, I mean, definitely throughout all this, I speak for myself only, because I can't speak for anybody else's experiences. Socially, it's really acceptable for a girl to be like a tomboy, you know? And especially growing up in a farming town like I did, it was fine. Like, you know, when there's only three kids in your graduating class, like, you all play together. It's not abnormal, you know? And I was always a tomboy. And then when I started high school, I kind of started to figure out that, you know, wait, I like girls, so I must be a dyke. So I came out as a dyke and cut off all my hair, and my mom cried, and, you know, did the whole coming out thing. And my family was, I mean, this is definitely not the typical. Most families don't react well. Mine was great. Like, my family was awesome about
it. Were your friends?
My friends were pretty cool about it. I got kicked out of my church, which was really hard because that was a big part of my social structure. But other than that, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. I got jumped at school in high school, like, right after, because, I mean, I always wore, like, I mean, I've been wearing boxers since I was in sixth grade. Like, I refused to wear anything else. Like, I've been dressing. I always wanted to be my older brother. Like, he's 18 years older than me, and I always wanted to be like him. But when I cut off all my hair and stuff, like, I didn't necessarily come out at school, but I think they just pegged me as out at school, so I got jumped by five people. And even though I'm 27... so this was, you know, maybe 11 years ago. There wasn't gay straight alliances. There weren't GLBT student associations, and people didn't really know how to deal with queer students. So when I reported it to the school, they said that they could suspend them, but that they would suspend me as well for fighting. So I didn't want my parents to find out by a phone call from my school. So I dropped out of high school my junior year and moved out on my own, supported myself, finished high school on my own, and then after I moved out, I came out to my family. And they were all super supportive. Like, they were all really supportive, and I was scared, especially with my father. He's kind of a good old boy. And when I got my first car, my mom was buying me my first car. And I really wanted a truck. Like, it was super important to me to have a truck. And my dad said only dykes drive trucks. So, I mean, that was just the kind of things that he would say that kind of scared me. And when I came out to him, literally the first thing he said was, "You should have got a truck." So he's been cool with it. My whole family is really cool with it. My brother, said that he told my parents when I was four that I was gay. So I guess it wasn't a real big shock to anyone. And they just wanted me to be happy. But for the next 2 years, like, I lived as a dyke, you know, dyke community, and you'd go to events or go to whatever, and you're supposedly around people that are just like you, but they weren't just like me. Like, I always still felt different. Like, I never felt like I belonged there. Like, I was comfortable with myself, and I thought maybe, you know, like, we all have things that we don't like about ourselves. So I kind of just tried not to think about it. But I was in competitive speech, which is very gendered attire. And I was at our national tournament, and there had been someone on our team assigned to do my makeup because I wasn't trusted. Apparently chapstick doesn't qualify. And so I was ironing my blouse, right, with my heels sitting on the floor next to me, and my roommate's talking about what she's going to do to my makeup and my hair, which was shorter than it is now, so I don't know what she was planning on doing. Practically had a shaved head. And it just hit me. Like, it just hit me that, like, wait a second, like, I'm trans. So I freaked out, and I was 2,000 miles or 3,000 miles away from home. I was in Philadelphia, and I went to my coach and I said, "Look, like, you have to put me on a plane and send me home. Like, I can't do this." And fortunately for myself, like, he did convince me to stay, which I appreciate now. I ended up winning a national title, which was really good for me, like, academically and professionally, but I couldn't be happy about it. You know, I came home and I told my partner that I'd been with at that point for about 4 years, and she didn't take it so well. She said that, you know, if I ever physically transitioned, that she would leave me. So I spent about a year trying to not be trans, and I was miserable. Like, I was not a good person. I wasn't good to her. I wasn't good to myself. I wasn't good to my friends. Like, my friends that, you know, stood by me loved to point out how big of an asshole I was at that point in my life. So finally, after a year, I went to her and said, "Look, I can't do this. Like, I have to transition." So she tried to stay by me, but it didn't work out. And I'm glad we broke up before we hated each other, because we're still friends and we talk almost every day. But we couldn't be together. I mean, I think the only way I can explain it to other people is, like, if you close your eyes and think about what you look like, and then you look in the mirror, do you see the same person?
Do you think that trans people have it the worst out of the LGBT community?
Being trans is where being gay was 50 or 60 years ago. I mean, I understand that hate crimes against the trans community are statistically much more prevalent, much more violent, much more likely to result in death. And I understand that being out and open, I put a target on my back every time I walk out the door. But I don't want the entire world to think of trans people as Jerry Springer, you know, talk show fodder. You know, I'm a human being. I'm in bed by 10 on a crazy night. Like, you know, I'm not living some sort of crazy queer lifestyle. Like, you know, I'm raising a family and going to school and just trying to be a good human being. But being trans, if I don't talk about it, nothing will change. If I don't educate people, nothing will change. But doing that, I understand that there's a target on my back. I mean, I've had my head cracked open. I've been beaten up. I've been verbally assaulted. When I was transitioning, I was working at a job, and I ended up having to leave that job because my boss, who was gay, he liked to call me a he/she in department meetings. I wasn't allowed to use any of the bathrooms at my office. They made it really, really, they can't fire you for being trans because this is one of the very few states in the nation where I'm protected. But they can make your life miserable to the point that you leave or find another reason to fire you if they want to. And I just left. I mean, I didn't want to deal with it anymore. But even here, I don't feel safe. Like, I don't feel like I'm safe because I'm in Long Beach. You know, the queer community doesn't even like trans people. You know, I'm not saying not all queer people don't like trans people. That's untrue. But they're not exactly, like, accepting of trans people. You know, a lot of the lesbian community feels like we, like, turned our back on femininity or something like that, or womanhood, and trying to appropriate male privilege or some bullshit like that. But I'm not. I was never a girl. Like, just because I was born looking like one doesn't make that who I am. And I think that people forget that, you know?
How does being trans affect your family?
Like, yeah. It's really hard to tell you. Like, my partner, you know, she's visibly queer. You'd see her and think, wow, she's a dyke. Mm-hmm. Which is how she identifies, and that's great. But a lot of times people will give her a hard time about us. Like, well, why don't you just date a real man? As though I'm somehow less than real. That's frustrating. You don't want your family to be hurt, you know? Or people will be like, well, you're not really a dyke if you're dating a guy. So her identity is called into question a lot, and I really worry, like, Dom's 6, you know, at some point in the very near future, he's going to want to have sleepovers and hang out with his friends, and people are going to know who we are and what we are. And, you know, at this point, like, he knows I'm trans, he knows what that means, he knows that Kelly's a dyke, he knows what that means, and he's very supportive. Like, you know, kids don't have those prejudices ingrained in them yet, but I'm afraid for when it happens and he has to suffer for who we are. That'll break my heart. Like, I'd much rather have somebody beat the shit out of me than give him
right.
a hard time.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you constantly, like, worry about him?
Yeah. I mean, I think any parent constantly worries about their kid, but... And kids are going to get picked on. That's the reality. But, I mean, the fact that he's going to have to be picked on because of who I am is really... That breaks my heart, you know? Like, you don't want your kid to suffer. You don't want your kid to suffer for who you are, the choices that you've made. But at the same time, like, I'd like to think he's going to grow up to be a better person. I mean, especially, like, not only am I trans, but I'm disabled. So I think that, you know, having a tranny cripple as a parent is going to shape his worldview. And I think that he'll be more sensitive to other people, which is a good thing. But I don't want him to have to suffer for that understanding. You know, and a lot of people have told me that I shouldn't be out or that I shouldn't disclose that I'm trans or whatever. You know, good, bad, or ugly, like, I want people to know who I am, not who they think I am. It's harder, like, I don't say I'm always out. That's incorrect. Medically, I'm not. Because of my disability, I end up in the hospital a lot for pain management for my back. And I won't disclose that I'm trans in those situations because it just makes it a lot harder for me. It's a lot harder for me to find doctors that are willing to treat me. It's a lot harder for me to find doctors. Like, I went in one time and the doctor came in and I wasn't disclosing that I was trans, but he kind of put, like, you know, the scars and the on my chest and the testosterone medication, because I have to disclose what medications I'm on. I have to be safe. And he kind of put it all together, and he walked out, and, you know, I'm in horrible pain, and can't move. And he closes the curtain. Like, mind you, it's a curtain. It's a sheet hanging from the ceiling. Like, it's not a wall. There's no door. I can hear you. And he walks out and is like, you know, whatever it is in bed number 5. I don't know. It was born a girl, but it thinks it's a guy. So it needs this. And I think that's almost harder than being beat up. Because when you call me it, you take away my personhood. You would think that doctor's main goal would be to help people and that they would in some way be more understanding, but actually my worst experiences have typically been with doctors and the medical community at large. I don't trust them. I have no reason to trust them. I mean, look at their track record with my community. Look at their track record with me. You know, I've been put in situations where I could have been really severely hurt, not to mention the fact that he disclosed my medical history and, like, something that could get me killed in front of anybody within hearing range, you know, a hospital full of people. That's not okay. You know, and the worst thing was Kelly got just enraged and went to go scream at him, and, like, I had to stop her because at that point I needed help. And I was afraid that if she said something that he wouldn't help me. And, like, that's almost the worst thing, because you have to sit back and take it. Like, you have to, like, let them do that to you. You have to let them make you less than human. You know, like, I get put on par with an animal, you know, or that I'm deviant, or that I'm a child molester, or that I'm whatever, and I'm not, you know?
What have your experiences as a student been like?
I mean, as far as being a student here goes, like, I'd say that I've mostly had positive experiences. When I first started here, it was before my name change and everything like that, and the university will not put anything on my identification other than my name. My legal name. So my ID said Nicole Christine. Well, I had already had surgery. I was already on testosterone. I didn't have the, you know, $600-$800 to legally change my name yet. I was saving up for it. So every time I had to show my ID for something, I had to come out. And while I'm very out, because of the risks, I'm not always out. I don't come out to everybody I meet on the street because I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get killed. Especially being disabled, I can't run. I can't fight. You know, if somebody pegs me, I'm screwed. So that was really hard. And I argued with the university a lot about, like, can you just put my initials? Like, can you put NC and then my last name? And they wouldn't do that. And I tried, I talked to somebody in the office that, you know, deals with this kind of stuff, one of the higher up people. And she was like, well, you can come in and write us a letter petitioning to have this done. And we'll look into it. But I can tell you right now, it's not a very high priority. And that kind of hurt, like, that the university that I go to, like, such a simple thing that would take 2 seconds to do.
Right.
So that I'm
and
not...
And even you would think, like, a more liberal
university, like, in a liberal city, like,
yeah,
that I would be better off. But you know what the fact is? Like, I was terrified. Like, I had to run to professors before the first day of class and have to out myself to every professor that I had to be like, I know it says this on the roll sheet, but my name is Cole, and please don't call me this, and here's why, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there was this one time that I, in a lecture hall, that I didn't get to the instructor in time. And so she called my name out in this lecture hall of, like, 150 people, and I just froze. Like, I didn't know what to do. And I didn't raise my hand because safety comes first. But then I almost got dropped from the class because she marked me down as absent and was going to add a petitioner. And then I got chastised for not outing myself in front of the entire class. You know, like I said, anybody that I know, I'm pretty open about being trans, but I have to make sure that I'm in a safe environment first. And that was scary. That was hard. I mean, it's easier now that everything has changed. But it's still kind of a fight to get, because every once in a while the old name will pop up on something, and, you know, I have to, like, argue with people, or trying to get an appointment for, you know, an annual exam at student health. Like, do I want to go get that done? No, nobody wants to go get that done. But, I mean, I still have reproductive organs. I still have to maintain reproductive health, especially given that testosterone greatly increases your chance of cervical, uterine, and ovarian cancer. So until I can get a hysterectomy, that is very, very important that I do it. And even going there has been really hard. The director of the Student Health Center was great. The first time I ever went there, I had a horrible experience. It wasn't even for an annual exam. It was for an injury. And the doctor was horrible, like, yelled at me. like all these really fucked up things about me being trans. And the next time I went, I had full blown pneumonia, and the doctor was like, you know, why did you wait so long to come in, blah blah blah. And I told him, you know, about how I had been treated the time that I came before that, and how I didn't want to go in. And he's like, you could, you know, your lung is on the verge of collapsing, like you can die, you needed to come in here. And I didn't know that he was the director of the student health center. So like 2 weeks later, they had trans sensitivity training and all this stuff, and it's helped. I mean, I definitely have never had a negative experience since I've been in there, but just, I mean, being tokenized, even now when I go in, they know that I'm trans. So like they practice, like he, this guy, him, he's a male and he needs, could you please get his, him, her, his, sir, his blood pressure. And it's like, how many pronouns can you use in one sentence? But I mean, it's cute that they're trying and they're making an effort, and I appreciate that. But like, even when I make my annual exam, I have to have Kelly call, because if I call listening to me on the phone, they give me a hard time, or you know, like, pull up my file. Like, it's noted there for a reason, like for this purpose. So that's awkward. And I have to go in and like meet with the person first and make sure I'm comfortable with them first and make sure that they're comfortable with me first. And that's difficult.
Right. Which is stuff, you know, straight person wouldn't have to do, someone who's not trans.
Most people never have to think about how they perform their gender. It's ingrained in us from the second that we're born. I identify as male. That's who I am. But I've still been socialized as female. So all of a sudden, going into this like boys' club that you kind of knew existed but didn't really know existed, it's like the strangest thing. And it's actually really difficult. And there's a lot of people that'll tell you how you have to walk, sit, stand, shake hands, what you have to wear. And I think that that's bullshit. I didn't transition to become some like uber masculine, like the epitome of Abercrombie Fitch football player frat boy. Like, that's not me. But a lot of people transition into that because they're so, like, it's like you always have to prove that you're a real guy. Like, it's never just taken that I'm a guy, that's who I am. It's always like, well, you're not really a guy. Or, you know, well, you're not really a guy unless you have a penis, you know, because I don't want bottom surgery. It costs $100,000. The results are horrible.
Yeah.
You'll never enjoy sexual stimulation again. I'd rather put a down payment on a house and get off. Like, that's just the reality. And, you know, well, if you don't have a penis, you're not a real guy. So if you get into an accident, God forbid, like, lose your dick, like, all of a sudden you're not a real guy. Or a woman that has cancer and, has to lose her breasts isn't a real woman. Like, is that really how we identify our gender? And it is. That's how we shape our nice little neat boxes. And if you don't fit into that, people flip out. And I think that's where a lot of the violence comes from, is that if you don't fit into that, you know, it scares people. Especially if you want to be out, like, it's constantly in question.
Like, people discount who you are.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to walk around? And even professors that know it, like, I understand that they were trying to be supportive when I had to out myself, but then any time, like, a gender question would come up in any of my classes, like, all of a sudden I was expected to be the expert, or the spokesperson, or the token, you know, tranny, or the token queer, and I didn't sign up to be a poster child for anything. You know, I'm out, and I'm open, and I guest lecture because I think if we don't educate people, nothing will change. But I don't want to be a poster child. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, this is what it means to be trans. Like, you know, gender is so individual. Everybody expresses their gender differently. Every woman, man, child, person on the face of this planet expresses it differently. So I think that that's what makes me really uncomfortable is, you know, I don't like being held up against someone else's idea of trans, but now people are doing that with me. In a way to survive, you have to kind of block out the bad stuff. You have to block out the dirty looks and the comments and all of those things, because if you don't, it'll kill you. I mean, if you have to focus on the good things, you have to focus on, I mean, like, it's even like when you first transition, you know, when you start getting called sir, you're like, yes, like these tiny little victories in life. And I think that we, that queer people or marginalized people in general, you either have to choose to like not pay attention to the bad stuff. Like, I don't even notice looks anymore. Like, I don't even see it. Because if I don't block it out, it'll drive me crazy and it'll make me miserable. And I'll, you know, you just, I think that's why a lot of people sort of minimize their negative experiences. It's a self-protection mechanism. It's not to say that everything's great and life is perfect and Cal State Long Beach is the most accepting place ever, because it's not. But it's the only way to survive.
Our final interview is with a 21-year-old bisexual female student. Her experiences with sexuality are largely defined by her race. She describes how her friends and family view homosexuality and her experiences as a student at CSULB. What have your experiences as a student been like?
In certain classes where they start to talk about gay issues, they never talk about bisexual issues. It's only gay or lesbian, and now even transgender, but they leave out bisexuals altogether. It's kind of weird. In the human sexuality class, all we learn about is heterosexual sex, which is half of what I do, but geez. So, dating life is interesting. I have my lesbian friend, Kendra, you know, she was trying to hook me up with one of her friends, and she was like, well, you know, she's all the way lesbian, so try not to talk about guys at all. And I'm just like, I can't do that. Like, if I've only been dating a guy for the past year or 6 months or whatever, of course that's what I'm going to talk about. So, yeah, when I date women, they're kind of like, they have this concept that if you have had sex or recently, or you're not a virgin, period, a male virgin, that you're somehow like tainted and like kind of dirty, and they're
how
like,
how do men feel?
Men feel like I'm a slut, promiscuous slut, and that I will cheat. So girls feel the same way too. They're like, oh, I don't feel secure. You're always gonna be wanting some penis. So it's either way, but at this point, I end up telling people pretty much up front and just telling them like, look, this doesn't mean that I'm gonna be a cheater. Doesn't mean that I'm a whore. Like, this is just what it is. And lately I've been finding more accepting people, which is interesting. I guess as you get older or date older people, they understand a little bit more. But I think my race actually plays more of a factor, because black people are kind of fundamentally super religious. So that kind of excludes a lot of my dating pool. It's not like I will only date black guys or girls. It's just that I'm approached by them the most, or like I meet them the most frequent. But yeah, so I've had people like, I don't look bisexual or lesbian or anything, but there'll be a guy like, oh, I can't stand when fucking two women are together or whatever. Like, I started dating him and he just makes a super homophobic comment, and I'm just looking at him like, I think it's time for me to come out. And then after I do, they're like, oh, well, no, I can date you, but it's just that I don't like the rest of what the people like you do, or something like that. So I can't really do it. It's kind of hard. Like, one of the first questions I have to ask on the first date is, what did you vote on Prop 8? So if you voted yes on Prop 8, it's not happening at all. Okay, well, we were in class. We were in our African womanism class, and my friend Melinda and a few other my friends, we had to do a group project about black relationships and love and all that stuff. And Melinda looks at me and goes, oh, we should talk about how all the gay women are taking away women from our black men, how all the gay black men are taking men away from our black women. And I looked at her, I was like, that's the dumbest statement you've ever made in life. And she was like, why? And I was like, because, like, if they're gay, then the person that they're hooking up with was gay, so they're not taking it from anybody. And she got really mad at me that I didn't want to do her topic, because it was stupid. And then she goes into this tirade saying that something had to have happened to me when I was little. And I was like, no, I wasn't raped or anything like that. And she was like, no, definitely something happened to it. You're just suppressing it and all this stuff. And she just really got frustrated with her, because why does,
so she thinks that sexual orientation is definitely a choice, like,
or yeah, saying that it's,
or
some
something traumatic
kind of
had to happen to you,
yeah, some consequence of some deep perversion that happened to me, which was the most fucking ridiculous thing I ever heard. It was so,
how does your family feel about your sexuality?
My family and views on gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, pretty much my family's homophobic. It's funny because we're black, and it's like, hello, we were discriminated against. I don't see how they don't understand how it's the same thing, but they don't. I guess religion. My parents have literally conditioned my younger siblings to be hateful towards gays. I think the only sibling of mine, my little sister, she doesn't really talk bad about gay people or anything like that, which is amazing because my parents always talk shit. But my two younger brothers are like, yeah, if anybody was ever gay, I'd never talk to you again. Like, I would beat someone's ass and all this shit. And I'm just like, I don't understand.
Do they know you're bisexual?
No. I call him older because he's bigger than me, but he's not my older brother. My 18-year-old brother, he went to high school with me for 1 year, and he heard, like, rumors and stuff. But no, nobody in my family knows, like, not in my immediate family. I think one or two people in my extended family, but no one in my family knows, only because they're, like, super homophobic. And, yeah, my mother once said, this is so terrible, but she once said that sometimes when she sees gay people getting beat up or, like, getting beaten to death on the news, that she's happy about it. And I was just like, I don't care if I wasn't gay. I still think that that would be a disturbing comment to me. She said it when I was with my grandfather and stuff, and they were just all laughing after that. Kind of reminds me of, like, all these white people from the South just sitting around saying, oh yeah, you know, we killed this nigger over here, da, 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 and everybody just laughing about it. It kind of reminds me of the same thing. And yeah, you know, I recently called my mom out on it, but she, I don't know, she didn't have much to say. She says she doesn't hate gay people.
But she likes them when they're dead, though.
Yeah. I think she said she just said that, and I think she did kind of say it for a laugh, but it doesn't matter. That's still,
funny.
To make a joke like that is just disgusting.
Do you think that trans people have it the worst out of the LGBT community?
I would say somewhere between gay men and transsexuals have it the worst. I don't know. I feel like maybe not the worst. Everyone has their own particular, every group has their own particular stigma. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably gay men and trans, because gay men are what you think of when you think of gay men. And, mm-hmm. and the most disdainful, you know, combination, I guess, because my friends, you know, a guy can have a threesome with two girls and want to see two girls kissing, and that's hot. But me, if I say, I think that when two men kiss, it's sexy, and I would totally, like, have sex with two guys. And people are like, ew, that's so fucking disgusting, that's a turn off, and da da da. It's not a turn off to me, like, I really kind of like.
I think the media plays a big part in how we view lesbians. Like,
yeah,
it's always like,
gay. Yeah. I kind of like feminine men. It's kind of cute. I don't know where I get it from, why I like it. I just do.
Although these interviews do not speak for the greater LGBT population, each of our interviews provide a unique perspective into the lives of three LGBT students. Oftentimes, the obstacles presented by their sexuality go unnoticed by their heterosexual peers. This podcast will hopefully shed some light into the difficulties LGBT students face at home, at school, and during their daily lives.